Hey, everybody, it's Kathy Lee Gifford. I want you to join me on my latest episode, please, of Kathy Lee and Company. I have the extraordinary and never boring Mr. Glenn Beck with me this week. Glenn, what am I going to learn about you that I don't what do I not know about you that I'm going to learn?
No, but it's not going to be boring. It will not be boring.
Is that the worst thing you can be in anything?
It is.
Boring. Don't be boring.
It is.
So he won't be boring. So download me at podcastone.com or iTunes, Kathy Lee and Company.
Available now at podcastone.com.
The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
Welcome to Ron Paul, the weekly podcast. I'm Charles Goyette. Ron Paul joked that the administration couldn't get the Obamacare webpage working because all the capable technical people were busy spying on us. But the web portal problem, like the president's misrepresentation that if you like your insurance, you can keep it, are mere symptoms of the much larger problem of the government trying to take over one-sixth of the economy. We'll talk with Ron Paul about the Obamacare follies right after this.
How would you like to do something that's good for you and good for America? Well, you can, just by shopping like you normally do. You see, just about everybody uses Amazon these days, because it's so easy. But from now on, when you're going to shop on Amazon, go to the PodcastOne.com Ron Paul page and click on the Amazon link there. When you do, a portion of whatever you buy gets kicked back to the Ron Paul Show to help keep the podcast coming and keep us from having to run tons and tons of ads. So we can be selective and focus on getting you Ron's message. So do it. Go to PodcastOne.com, click on the Ron Paul page, and click on Amazon. The next time you're going to buy something, use that link. You'll be helping yourself because you're buying something you want, and helping America because you're helping keep Ron Paul's messages coming. And there's no extra costs involved. You pay the same price. It's the same Amazon. If you want to help out even more, tell your friends to do the same thing. Go to PodcastOne.com, click on Ron Paul, then click on the Amazon link. You'll be glad you did.
Dr. Paul, it seems that all that we have learned over the years about the failures of central economic planning, about the importance of the price system, that all of these are automatically forgotten when politicians come up with a scheme like Obamacare.
Yes, that is always the problem. There's always the promises. But, you know, I'm never surprised that so many of these promises fall through and they're never fulfilled. Sometimes I try to figure out motivations, which is much more difficult because that's more subjective. But you wonder whether the failure of the system, the computer system, is deliberate. We know from an economic viewpoint that the efficiency of government delivery of any service or any good always fails and always serves a special interest. But they have a philosophic disagreement with us, and they believe that they can do this. But, you know, it is so bad, and they blunder so much. You wonder, and some people postulate that maybe they do this on purpose because they'll get disgusted with this halfway approach and say, see, free markets don't work, insurance companies don't work, so therefore we have to have a one-payer system, because if you look around the world, you can just look at the wonderful systems where there's one payer and everybody's happy. And that may be their argument too. But nevertheless, those of us who disagree, our job is to point out that it's a lot bigger problem than just the computers. Almost, it's fortunate that the computers have broken down. It gives us a breathing spot, breathing time to at least analyze what they're trying to do. And my guess is the delivery of medical care, if Obamacare is put in place, will be no better than the computer system that they've tried to put in place.
Well, it seems to me that this is maybe a fork in the road with the failure of this crony system designed by the insurance companies, the visible failure of it, and what I suspect that you've alluded to, the single-payer system that may provide a platform for a Hillary Clinton campaign or for somebody else. But isn't this really the fork in the road between a socialist, single-payer, Soviet-style medical care system and sort of a crony capitalist one? I mean, if you go the Hillary Clinton route or the single payer route, how do the insurance companies whose bread is buttered in the current system, how are they provided for?
Yeah, and I think those are the choices, and that's unfortunate. One is total socialism, and the other is corporatism and interventionism and planning. and making deals with corporations. And I think that's the main direction that we're going in so far, even though we do know that there are people in the administration that would like to go all the way. But you take the insurance companies. I believe that they've negotiated and think they're going to get a good deal. They have some the government put mandates on them. It's going to cost them more, take care of everybody, no matter, you know, when they got sick, and make people buy insurance for birth control when they're 65 years, all those kind of problems. And yet, at the same time, they put all the pressure on and the cost on the young people. But when the insurance companies go along with this, they've given up some of their privileges because they think they're going to get a lot more customers. But it doesn't quite work out that way. So I think people sell their soul when they say, I can have a little bit of government management, a little bit of government help, a little bit of government money, as long as I'm involved with the writing of the regulation. This happens in the financial markets all the time. Wall Street and the bankers get to write the regulations, and they go along with it. Nobody argues the case for freedom. And it's especially tough because of the psychology of a country that they've been brainwashed with this idea. The last thing you would ever want is for medical care to be delivered by the marketplace. And yet we know of many examples in the past, many examples even currently going on, where we should not give up so easily, that we don't have to have socialism and we don't have to have corporatism. We just have to have a little more confidence understanding how the marketplace works.
Well, the best examples that come to mind for me are the furthest away from the interfering hand of the state. For example, elective surgeries, things like cosmetic surgeries, or better still, LASIK surgery, that so far removed from the government and the state-run insurance companies, the cost of LASIK surgery, corrective vision surgery goes down, becomes more efficient, becomes safer, becomes more affordable, more accessible every single year, as it should in the free market.
Right. And what if you delivered emergency care to the free market, like you deliver plastic surgery? The same thing would happen. There would be a lot more individuals involved. Already you see some of that going on when you see these clinics popping up around the country, and they're separated from the government. And they're doing it because of the inefficiency of the hospitals and the inefficiency of the insurance system. Some people even go without, some doctors go into the medical practice now, and they just won't touch government or insurance, and they just get their prices down. The patients love it. They're happy. And wouldn't this be a boom for young people who don't have a lot of medical problems? This would be great. But this is always resented by those who want their money and want to do the planning, and they force everybody into it. So if they would just think about the use of force versus voluntarism, it makes a big difference. You know, I think so often those people who preach the gospel about being pro-choice are the last ones ever to allow choice in economic policy. So I think what we need in economics is a lot more freedom of choice.
Well, it's sad to me that there's been some sort of replication failure in the American DNA gene, that we've forgotten about freedom. But here's an anecdote that says the whole thing, in my view. Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius never checked the Obama web portal. And after all, she told Congress that she already had her own insurance plan. Now, if you're an American, wouldn't you just look at somebody like Jeff Bezos not checking Amazon.com before he launched that company, because he didn't need to check the web portal because he already owned all the books he wanted?
Well, you know, the big difference is one's private property, one's responsible for earning money, one's responsible for stockholders. And the big thing is, in the market, they're responsible for satisfying their customers. You know, that's what the market does. They satisfy customers, not corporations and not labor. They satisfy customers. So the person who wants to be in business has to do this. And government is exactly the opposite. We're taxpayers. We're not customers, you know, and they don't have any desire or need to please us, because they have the authority. They have the iron fist of government. If we don't do what they tell us, then we're in big trouble and end up, if you really fight them, you can go to prison. So it's a real mess. And unfortunately, it's a lack of understanding on how the marketplace works and why government acts this way. This doesn't mean that if we get more people to recognize that government acts poorly under these circumstances, I remember even as a teenager, I remember them talking about the post office. What we need is somebody in that post office that knows business and run it like a business. Well, you can put the best businessman in there in the world, but it doesn't happen because government people in government, bureaucrats and politicians think differently. So it's impossible. And as soon as the people realize this, we might accept the fact that markets are much more efficient.
Dr. Paul, there are reports that Obamacare's website has cost the taxpayers $500 million or more. The main contractor on the job says, oh, it's only $93 million. How do you spend $93 million on a website? But just to show that it can be done, three 20-year-old programmers, three guys in San Francisco, have shown the government how to do it. You put in your zip code on their program, you shop the plans, just like that. They did in just a few days what healthcare.gov still hasn't been able to accomplish.
But you're missing the point. What about all that money? And I heard the number was much higher, hundreds of billions of dollars. But the point from their view is that their friends have to be taken care of. Somebody has to make some money. They have to redistribute wealth. And you know, the Paul Krugman argument is it doesn't matter whether they're successful or not. He thinks it's beneficial to the economy if you pay people to dig a hole and then fill it up again. I guess that's what we're doing. We dig a hole with these computers. So they just don't even think in terms of it being efficient, and they really don't care because they have to take care of somebody, and it's a boondoggle. It's Solyndra, a supercharge. It's always taking care of their political friends, the special interests. And if they cared about efficiency of delivering goods and services and taking care of people's needs, and if they were halfway honest and looked at the facts, they'd realize that a lot more people are taken care of when you get the government out of the way. And yet they don't do that because they're locked in on this idea that it's important that they have smart people like the bureaucrats and the liberal politicians who think that they can run the economy, or the Federal Reserve that knows how to get rid of the business cycle and take care of all the boom, get rid of the crashes and make sure there's boom times all the time. So that is, they actually end up believing this. And once you concede a little bit, the special interest in the money people take over, and that's what's happening. Everybody complains about money and government, and they realize this, but their solution is regulate people's money. No, it's regulating the government, so the government can't pass out these regulations. Then I think we could move in the right direction.
Well, it's a very sad chapter in the account of our economic decay in this day and age. Thank you, Dr. Paul, for another great conversation and podcast. Ron Paul, the weekly podcast. I'm Charles Quayhead.
This concludes another PodcastOne.com program.